little help we can get. Brother Johnny is going to come up and help me preach in just a moment through a sermon illustration. Brother Johnny, you're going to help me in just a minute. It's easy. You won't have to worry about it. You can help me because I need all the help I can get. But as I said, the condition of our church and condition of our church age, what's ahead for the church? Because we have left the original pattern that God has set for the church. And I'll tell you why. John's going to help me. What the church is intended to be and what the church intended to do, the only answer is in the New Testament, has been revealed unto us. And it can be a blessing or it can be a burden. As we look at the actually church in the New Testament, and we look at the church today, at the church age that we're living in, it's very frustrating the how far that we have come from the New Testament norm for the pattern, the original pattern that God has given the church. As we read the New Testament, you should renew your commitment to the church. As I said this morning, you know, because Donald Trump is our electee, it have not caused our attendance to grow not one bit, and it will not. Because he can't change the hearts of people. God's got to do that. So as we look at this, the commitment to the church to do everything we can for the church, for what the church should be and what the church should do and intended to do. As we look back at the church at the day of Pentecost and also the Jerusalem church, the church was supernatural injected into this world. Supernatural by God. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 41 through 47. Like for us to look and see the pattern. This is the original pattern that God had for the churches. As we look at this, I hope God speaks to our heart and to understand the condition that we're in and why that we're in the church age at the age we're in, the Laodicean age. And not only for the churches we have today, but all around our nation. Verse 41, then they that gladly received the word was baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued to stand fast in apostle doctrines and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs was done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Let us go to the Lord again in prayer. Father Jesus, we want to thank you again for the great day that you allowed us to live through and bring us to another close of a day. Father, we thank you for the benefit we have in prayer to pray to a holy and a living God. Father, we know that you hear our prayers, and we just want to thank you for the opportunity we have, the responsibility that we have to pray for one another. The ones on our prayer list, everyone that's in this prayer box, Father, even the unspoken requests this hour for family members and loved ones, friends and neighbors, and those who are less fortunate than we are tonight. We pray and we thank you, but Lord, we pray for this church, our church, and the churches today across this land, that we might turn back to the original church that we should be, as you intend us to be, and all these blessings we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Brother Johnny, will you come help me a minute? Come on up and help me. Now, Johnny is a carpenter. A what? And Joe and some of the rest of you. Now, Johnny, I got a board here. What is that, 7 inches long, 8 inches long? I want to cut 50 boards. I got several boards out there. Now, you tell me how you do this. Now, if you have this board here and you lay it on this other board and you mark it, then do you throw this one away since you got this one marked? You cut that one, and then you mark the next board. And did you throw that first one away and keep on? You throwing every one away you get to the end? Or do you have this one and you make a pattern on this and you mark each one by this one? Now, which one do you do?
Mark one, cut one, mark cut another one.
By the pattern.
Yeah, by the pattern.
Now tell them why. Come here.
If you mark them.
Now tell them why we do this, okay. Johnny.
Well, if you marked them all, by the time you got to the other end, you wouldn't have it about a 2-inch board.
That's right.
Well, I'm a carpenter then, I guess.
All right. Thank you, Johnny.
Well, I ain't too yet.
Okay, go ahead. Help yourself. I do.
No, I'm just messing with you. No, I don't know if I'll be remembered or not, but about he kept on telling me, he said, Won't you come preach? Well, I couldn't. I can't hardly speak, you know, much less preach, and ain't no way in the world I can do that. But I said, yeah, if you get 100 people to come on Wednesday night, I'll come speak.
Okay.
He forgot it. I'm glad.
No, I ain't forgot it. I'm still working on it.
But I'm partial to Revelations 20. I just love that thing. I bet you I've read it 500 times and still don't know nothing. But I'm going to keep reading it till I learn something.
Hey.
One of these days I am.
Amen.
I'm going to learn something one of these days.
Amen.
But anyway, so y'all don't go out and get no bunch of people to come in here because y'all ain't getting me back again. This is it. I'm done.
Now Johnny says he has a pattern, and he has this pattern and he cuts that board by it. Like you said, if you don't have that pattern, the time you get to the end of that 50 that you're going to make a herring piece you're going to cut, it will not be the same as it started off. Did you know that is exactly the reason the church is in a mess like it is now? Because we have not went back to that pattern. We have went and seen other churches all across, and Southern Baptist especially. If they hear about a church over so-and-so and doing something, this, that, and other, and a lot of people start coming, man, they start having numbers, we're going to go over and we're going to do what they've been doing. Then we're going to run over and do what this, and I heard about this, and then we're going to go over that and say, well, that church is doing so-and-so and so-and-so. That's the reason that we're in condition we are in our country, in our world today. Because of the pattern. We have not went back to the original pattern. We've cut that board and throw that in the way. We'll cut another and throw that in the way. And like Johnny says, you won't have the same when it comes to that 50 mark. We have not went back to the pattern. That is condition that we're in today because we have not used a New Testament pattern for our church today. With what someone else has done, what this church is doing, what that church is doing, what they used to do. They have changed, and a lot of time have not been for the best. Look what we need today, that pattern for a New Testament church. To try other things. It's all right to change methods. Methods will change throughout generations. But you know what a lot of churches have done? Change the message. Have changed the message. And like I said this morning, you won't hear about the death and burial and resurrection. You will not hear the blood preached from a lot of pulpits across our nation. They have changed the message. And whenever you change the message, you no longer have the church pattern it was in the New Testament days. The Jerusalem church. Summarize here in a very healthy and growing church what they had. And the basic ingredients. To start with, you what they had, save people. That sounds strange to your ears today. Save people in that church in Jerusalem. The pattern of the new church was save people. Verses 41 and then 42. Then they gladly received the word of God, was baptized. And the same day was added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued to stand fast in apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking bread in prayer. As I said this morning, you see, we have come from apostles to apostate. We have not kept the original copy. We have not kept the original pattern, for the New Testament church has never changed in God's word. This is strange to our ears today. It shouldn't be, because it's the Word of God. It's strange today in a lot of churches what I'm telling you today. Save people. Now, save word is a good word, is it not? It describes what happened when someone comes to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Now, it's great to be saved. Amen. It's great to know that you're saved. Amen. And it's great to know that you cannot lose your salvation. Amen. That is the New Testament church. The original pattern for the church. Save people. As we think about this, great. That is a great word, salvation. The great difficulties on churches today is because of the problems of lost people on church rolls. There's a great difference having your name on the church roll at Pleasant Hill or any other church than having your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's strange doctrine to a lot of people today. But there's a great difference. And I'm afraid today we have a lot of people on church's roll today, and their name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life. You've got to have saved people. And only saved people is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Acts chapter 16 and 31 says, "And they said, believe," talking to the Philippian jailer, "and believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Well, you can't be saved for your children. They got to be saved for themselves. But I tell you, mothers and fathers, what he's talking about here, buddy, I tell you, if mothers and fathers are saved and show that they're saved and show there's difference in their life towards Jesus Christ in their local church, those children will understand there's something different about mom and dad. You set the example. Now, there's a lot of churches. It's trying to reach people a lot of different ways. And any way that you reach Jesus Christ is good. Well, we'll try the youth. Boy, we get a bunch of youth coming because the youth, you know, if you get the youth coming, we'll get the mothers and fathers. Wrong. Well, we'll get the little ones. We get the little ones coming, but if you get the little ones, we'll get the mothers and fathers. Wrong. We'll do everything we can for the ladies, and we get these ladies coming. Boy, them ladies will get the men coming, and we'll have the whole family. Wrong. You know what God said? You men, listen to me. You start off with a man. The man is a leader of the home, whether you like it or not, ladies. And if they're not the leaders, God ought to get a hold of them. They're the one who ought to lead their family to the house of God. And they ought to be the one that leads their family to the things of God. I know I'll be through after this sermon. I know I won't ever be back again. But is that the truth? Your family. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Acts chapter 4 and 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved if you want to go to heaven. The New Testament church to start with made up of saved people. Only God knows. I think I was talking to John in a prayer. Only God knows. We don't. I don't know who's saved. I don't have that privilege, and I don't want to know that privilege. God does. We never get too close to the Lord. We can't fall away. I don't know who's saved, who's not. Just because they're not here don't mean they're not saved. Anybody can backslide. You better remember this or remember this well. You'll never be too close to the Lord that you can't fall away. You better be careful. We point our fingers and say, look at so-and-so, they fell away. Look at so-and-so, they didn't do this, they didn't do that. Look at them, what they're... You better be careful, because you never get too close to the Lord. As King David, after God's own heart, he fell away. I don't know who's saved. I don't know who's lost. I don't have that privilege, and I'm glad I do not have that. That God knows, and I don't. I know you ladies have this slogan all the time, only the hairdresser knows. Well, only God knows, and I don't know. Only thing we can go by what Matthew 7 and 20 says, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. That's the only way we know. The life they live and the fruits that they produce. Now, the Bible approaches salvation, this subject of salvation, in two different viewpoints. There is divine viewpoint and there is human viewpoint. Now, if you get these out of balance, you go too far one way or too far the other way, then you got a mess. Now, God's side. If we get it out of balance, we have election. You know, we got a group of people that I'm very fond of myself because I was raised in that area of election. And that means that only God knows. You don't never know where you saved, never know where you lost, never know where you saved. Only God knows. Hope that you're going to heaven. You hope that you are, that you hope that you are. Only God knows, only God knows. And if you've been elected by God, you're going to heaven. You can't do nothing about it. And if you're not elected by God, you're going to hell. And ain't nothing you can do about it. That's out of balance. That is out of balance. Divine viewpoint. God does the calling. God does the calling. You will not be here tonight if you are saved. You will not be here if God did not call you first. That is 100 absolute. The truth is you stay in balance. Man's side. Man's side is we got to do something. We got to reach up to God. We got to make ourselves good enough that God would accept us. And we got a group of people on the other side believes that. That you got to be good enough for God to accept you. And they go around all their life trying to make themselves good enough that God will accept them because they're out of balance with the Word of God because God said there's none of us good, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God's eternal life, what? Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We have to keep it in balance. Divine viewpoint and also human viewpoint. Divine viewpoint, verse 39, is again, as we think about this, as God has spoke to us in a very special way, God calls us. And it says in verse 39, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." That is divine part of it. He has called us. No matter how far someone is away from God, God will call you. Only way that you can come to God because he have called you. Romans 3, 10 and 11. "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Yet in the Bible you'll find out that the Bible says seek God while he can be found." Well, what is there? Contradiction in the Bible? No. No contradiction. If you're here and you're seeking after God, he's already called you. If you're here tonight and you're lost, or any time that anybody comes and they're seeking God, God has already called them. Because there's nothing in the human heart that will cause anybody to ever want to come to God. There's nothing. And human heart, no matter how good that person is, to ever cause that person to want to come to God. Nothing. First, God has got to seek that person. That is the divine side. God seeks us. Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. "Where art thou, Adam?" God is calling. God is seeking. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 14. "Whereunto he calls you by our gospel to attaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Call of the gospel. What is the call of the gospel? What is the gospel? I told you a while ago, death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's no other gospel. And yet you will not hear this from a lot of pulpits. TV ministers today, you will never hear preaching on sin. You never hear preaching on the death of Jesus Christ or the resurrection. The burial. If you're saved, and I hope that you are tonight, you can before you leave here, there was a time in your life when God tugged at your heart. Am I correct? There was a time when God tugged at your heart. God was calling you by that gospel to invite you. Proverbs 1 and 24. "Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regardeth." Proverbs 1 and 28. "Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. That is the unpardonable sin. They will not find me. There's no way to be saved. I've called. But they will not seek me. They will not turn. They will not find me. Only be saved when the Holy Spirit of God is drawing a person. I wrestled with that my own self. Have you ever wrestled with that? When God was tugging on my heart, the old church right over at Pleasant Hill. I know that there was something about those people in Pleasant Hill had something that I did not have. I don't know what it was. There was something different about those people at Pleasant Hill. I don't know what it was, but I wanted it. But I know my life was in a mess. I thought I was a good husband. I still am a real good husband. I thought I was good to my two boys at that time, Carl and David. I thought I was a good father. I tried to make provisions for my family the best that I knew how to do, but there was something wrong in my heart. And I'd come out there to Pleasant Hill, and that old preacher, Old McGee, y'all remember Old McGee? There was something wrong with that man, because every time I come to church, I'm the only one he's preaching to. I get mad and skip two or three times because all they're going to do is preach to me. The rest of the people need it better than I do. Why he's preaching to me for all the time? And I know that I know there's something wrong. So what? Sitting on my shoulder. Now, B, you know that preacher's telling you the truth? Yep, he is. What you need to do, though, you need to go back home. You know some things in your life that go to your mind. You know some things. You know what you need to do. You need to go back home. And you need to correct that. When you get that corrected, then you come back, and then you'll be able to go down there because you'll be accepted to the Lord, and He'll accept you, and then you can be saved. You know, I go back home, and I try to stop one thing, and four more things will jump on me. And I come back to church, and he said, "I be, you know, that preacher's telling you the truth. You need to stop back. You need to go back and get out of your house, and you need to get that correct." And I go back, and I try to correct it, you know, and I can say, I quit doing one thing, and four more things jump on me. And then there's some other spirit on this shoulder. Said, "Ivy, you come just like you are. You come just like you are. Human and divine viewpoint as we come. God who does a conviction." Verse 37 and verse 38 again. "Now when they heard this, they was pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy God." You see, I was deeply moved in my heart. I was pricked in my heart by the Holy Spirit of God. It says in the Old Testament, they whom pierced the Lord themselves was pierced. In the Old Testament, was telling what happened at the day they pierced Jesus Christ. In the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached that, then the ones was there, the Jews, that helped put Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, and they pierced him with the nails of spears and whatever else they done. They was pierced themselves, but the Holy Spirit of God pierced them in the heart. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son." He died for the sins of the world. But not only that personal sin, did you know every sin that you have ever committed and ever will commit, that Jesus Christ took that and nailed it to the cross? Every sin. That's personal. Because I was guilty of murder. Wait a minute, I thought I was a pretty good man. Well, I was. But you know what? The Holy Spirit told me that I was guilty of murder. You think somebody's a good sinner, they know such a thing as a good sinner. Everybody is sin. But you see, every sinner is a murderer. Because their sin nailed Jesus to the cross of Calvary. Which made every one of us a murderer. Again, repent and be baptized. That's a salvation experience. Repent and be baptized. Repent, that's a change of mind. You know, as many people, they try to change someone else. I've tried to change yours for nearly 50 years. I've not made it yet. Hadn't made it yet. I've been trying to change it for 50 years. She said, I know I'm right, but I bet you can out-argue me. But you know what, men, how many ladies have married a man? They said, man, after I get him married, I'll change him. How many ladies have said that? Buddy, if I could just marry that rascal, I'll change him. You can't change nobody. Thing about it is, if you did change him, it might not be for the best. As I said this morning, Donald Trump is our electee for president, but he won't change people's heart. You know who needs to change you? God does. And not only that, whenever you think somebody else needs changing, most of the time, you know what happens? As it did with me and Joyce, I'm the one needed changing. Can you say that, men, ladies? It's not him or her or they, it's me that needs to be changed. And God's doing that. If you're saved, he's still working on you. Thank you, Lord, that you're still working on me. Our children, you know what? You can't even change them. But you need to bring them to the house of God where God can change them. The church tries our best to get people to come, and we do all we can. Most of my ministry is trying to get Christians to come to church. It's not my job to do that. The Holy Spirit of God is on his one to convict someone, to get them to understand they need commitment at their local church. I can preach the word of God till I fall dead. It will not change the first person's commitment. Only when the Holy Spirit of God, by the word of God, gets a hold of that person, they'll change their commitment to their local church and how they serve Jesus Christ. But yet we spend a lot of our time trying to get people to come. It says repent. Repent. As we had Veterans Day, soldiers and military, y'all know what the word about face when you marched? I don't know if I can still do this or not. Yeah, I can. That's exactly what it says, repent. Make an about face in the direction that you're going in and go in another direction. By faith, we receive Christ as our Savior. We turn from our sins to Jesus Christ. You see, because a lot of times, like I tried to do, I tried to turn from my sins to something else. And I said four more things jumped on me because I was trying to turn from my sins to something else. But you turn from your sins to Jesus. He's the only one that can help us. Repent. That's faith on the inside. Baptism is faith from the outside. Verse 41, you know, repent. He said they was all baptized. In chapter 8 of this same book, Ethiopian eunuch, he was baptized. Chapter 9, Saul was baptized. Cornelius in chapter 10 was baptized. Chapter 16, Philippian jailer was baptized. They were baptized. They were baptized. When someone say that I'm saved and don't want to be baptized or come to church, question begins to arise on the inside that that really happened, what they said happened, that they're saved. As I said, we don't know. Surely makes you wonder whenever people won't come to church. Surely makes you wonder when they don't want to be baptized and have their commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is your testimony that you've been saved? The church was made up of saved people. And that's the only type of people that you can build a church, with saved people. You cannot build a church just called people on the church roll. Whenever we started building this church, we had a foundation. Brother Orville and some of the rest of them, they got on there and started ordering material. Material started coming out here and be dumped out. As we had this foundation of this church, and the trucks backed up here, and they had a truckload of potatoes unloaded. Here came another truck, and had a truckload of old tires. Here come another truck and had a truckload of cotton. Here come another truck and had a truckload of corn. And you say, what in the world are you dumping all that stuff out here? Well, you said you was building a building. You said you was building a building. You can't build a building out of that. You can't build a building. You can't build a church for lost people either. The same way you can't build a church with those type of material, you can't build a church for lost people. You must be born again. You got to get back to the original pattern of the church, and we have. People on the church roll that do not know Jesus Christ. You can belong to a church and still not belong to Jesus Christ. Did y'all know that? Jesus said, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. You see, you got to be built on saved people. Divine viewpoint, human viewpoint. The steady program needs to go on as the first church. In verse 46, they continued. Not just got saved and joined a church and was baptized. He said they continued. Look at the people have not continued with us at Pleasant Hill and around the other churches. Brother Marshall, not too long on, had a church roll, what was about 150 something or other? I don't know. They hadn't continued. He said, they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking of bread from house to house, and did eat meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They did eat. What happened to all those people? Well, it's like a birth experience. Whenever you was born, was that the beginning or the end? Was that the beginning or the end? It is the beginning. When someone's saved, they think it's the end. Boy, I'm saved. That's it. That's all I have to do. I'm saved. That's saved. That is the beginning. That is the beginning. They are continued growth. Or you wouldn't be sitting here tonight, would you not? They have to be growth to be a healthy person. You got to have this growth. The beginning experience, the process of growth. He gives us these statements, the ingredients of this steady program and the growth we have in verse 42. And they continue to stand fast in apostles' doctrine. That's teaching of the Word of God. If you don't come, you can't hear the teaching of the Word of God. I am a doctor. I don't have a degree from a university, but I am a doctor. What does a doctor mean in the Bible? That means a teacher. That's what God called me for, preaching to teach. I know you think y'all got a boogie prize, but that's what God gave me anyway. They continued. Each one of us. We have benefits today because of the work that the apostles continued on out today. The basic doctrine of the faith. Remember old Jude said the faith? Whenever a difficult article is put on the faith, there's a difference. Because a lot of churches left the original pattern about the faith of Christianity. And the faith means a fundamentalist faith that you cannot survive unless you have it. Football. Some things is fundamental. You've got to have it or it will not be a football game. You've got to have a ball, right? You've got to have a goalpost, right? You've got to have those lines, right? You can take any of those three away and you will not have a football game. Death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the gospel. You take any one of them away and you will not have the gospel and you will not have salvation and you will not have Christianity. As I said, the message is being changed across our land today. To understand and to know the basic doctrines of the Word of God. Remember I told you this morning that America is running on the momentum of our godly ancestry that we had of our forefathers in this country. When that momentum runs out, only hope is God, and God help us. And the church is in a mess today because there's so many people who do not know Jesus Christ on our church roll. We have lost our godly inheritance. And we brought up a group of young people and a group of people that do not know the Lord. They had fellowship. That ties the encouragement together, fellowship. When I come on Wednesday night, we have fellowship on Wednesday night. That is the tie that brings us to encouragement together whenever we meet, just like we're meeting here tonight. To have in common, that means to come to church. Psalm 68 and 6 says, God sets the severity of the families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwells in dry land. He's the one that brings us together. We need one another, our spiritual gifts. Did you know there's people that's not here tonight that's a member of this church? You know what they're doing? They're robbing me of the gift that God has given them. They're robbing me because when they all come together, God has given you a gift for me, God's me a gift for you, and we got a gift for each other. Everyone, God has given a gift, and we help one another. We help one another. And I'm hurt because I don't receive the gift from other people when they're not here. The tie that encourages us together is fellowship, but the breaking of bread. The breaking of bread, the table of enjoyment is before us. The Lord's Supper, as often as we do this, a special time of remembrance. As I said this morning, if no other service, we ought to be really mindful at the Lord's Supper, what He's done for us on Calvary's cross. As I said, we in the church age today of Laodicea, lukewarm, not cold, not hot. As I said, we believe in the cross, but we're not moved by the cross. We believe in the cross, but we're not moved by the cross. We're just cold, just lukewarm, and we're cooling off all the time, breaking of bread. And in prayer, that's another thing, prayer. There's not a failure. We don't have a failure in life that prayer will not take care of. We don't have a sin that prayer will not meet in our life. The power of prayer and the power of our church. You know what that is? Certainly not the preacher, not the deacons, not the Sunday school teachers. It's prayer. Old Spurgeon. Now, ever heard about Old Spurgeon? I guess the greatest preacher, most pastors, I always talk about Old Spurgeon. He was a great man in England. He built a great tabernacle, a great church. But it had no loudspeakers. I don't know how many thousand. Well, how many thousand did you see? About 3,000 or 4,000, Brother Marshall, something like that? Unheard of at that time, that tabernacle that he built. And he asked his people that was a member of that church, don't come on Sunday night. Boy, he was brave, wasn't he? I'll never do that. So the lost people will have a seat in that 3,000 or 4,000 seat church. Let the lost people have a chance to come. And he is so popular. And I'm telling you, he was a New Testament preacher, and he had the original pattern he went back to. And they said, Spurgeon, what is the answer? What is the answer, the power that you have whenever people come under so conviction when they come into your tabernacle? And he carried some of them down to the boiler room. Down there in the boiler room where nobody could see. And he carried them down to the boiler room to show them where the power was. You know what they found? 100 men on their knees before Almighty God praying while he was preaching up top. How much change could we have in our church if we would get on our knees and pray for our services? Laodicean church, how much change would be. The power, we don't even know the power that we really have. And then what the spiritual production would be and produce in our life in verse 47. Praising God. That's what would happen. Praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added. Who added? The Lord added to the church daily so it should be saved. The Lord adds that. Just a testimony. You know what that testimony would be? Praising God. You know, you got a testimony today. You got a testimony tonight. That is to praise God. Do we praise God? Where is our church at today? We need to get back to the original pattern. And old brother Johnny said, you know what? We don't need to throw that pattern away because you get down to the end. You know what? We way down on the end on the church age. And that same board that we marked back there, we marked 50 more of them. And we down here on the end of the church age. And it's not the same size that one we started off because it's a different board. That's where church is at today. We need to get back to the original pattern. You just tell you what, you just think back 50 years ago at Pleasant Hill. And not just Pleasant Hill, you just think back how churches responded to the Lord a few years ago when we had revival in this area. People had come, not just the ones was a member of the church, but I tell you, the members of the church came to revivals. They put their tractors under the shelters. They hung up their shotguns. Put up the fishing poles. And they came to church for a revival and to worship the Lord Jesus Christ for what he had been doing in their life, in their community, their family. But no longer we have raised a generation that do not know the Lord. They do not have time to put up their tractors on Sunday. They do not have time to hang up their guns on Sunday. They do not have time to quit whatever they're doing and come and worship Jesus Christ. You know why? Because we don't need the Lord no more. As I said, Donald Trump will not change the hearts of the nation that we're living in today. If God do not change the hearts, even of God's people, it will not be changed, and we're headed. Where did I tell you? We're headed to the rapture of the church. We're headed for the tribulation time. If we don't get back to the original pattern that God intends for us to have. I tell you, it'd be a great day when Pleasant Hill would get back just to the original pattern when Pleasant Hill started off. And that's not that many years ago, much less back to the original pattern. We'd just get back to the pattern we used to have. When people would come. And I tell you one thing. If they had any way to get there, they was there. Whether mule and wagon, was no car, they had to jump off with the jumper cables before they come to church, or however they got, they was glad to come. Or get somebody to come by and get them, they was here. And I understand that old wooden church, there weren't no air conditioning, was it, Lucille? You know what happened? The preacher preached hard enough they didn't need no cooling. He'd heat them up. Maybe a preacher ought to get back then. We need to get back to the pattern where we ought to be. As we come with a song of invitation, as I said, I can't change the hearts of people. You can't change hearts for nobody. The commitment we have has to be done by the Lord through the Holy Spirit of God and through His Word. But God will not push Himself on individuals. He will not push Himself on your family. He will not push Himself on this nation. It is a choice that He gives us. And thank the Lord that we have a choice. You know, the choice is yours tonight that you want to get back to where you think the Lord wants you at and calling you. That we need to get back as a church where God has called us. As we stand with this beautiful song.